We are pleased to have with us this morning in this hour of Focus 580, Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He has been doing this program with us for a long time. He and I on Marconi, we just go way back, right to the beginnings. He's been very generous with his time coming here every month to answer questions. And if you've heard the show, you know what the deal is. If you have questions about things like siding, insulation, gutters, roofing, you got problems with a wet basement, anything like that, you can give us a call, and I know Hank will do his best to help you out.
We've been trying for 20 years.
That's right. And I think you probably dispensed a lot of good advice. I mean, I would like to think that we helped people out over all those years, and we appreciate it. So we'll just get right to it. You want to give us a call, you will come right here to this program. No one will waylay you and ask for a pledge. Of course, we'd like to have people pledge, but that's not required. It's not part of the show. You just call in, and you can talk with Hank. And the number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line. That's good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Well, we have a couple callers, so we just go right ahead. All right. We'll start out in Urbana with line number one.
Good morning, Hank.
Good morning.
Hank, my question involves leaves cluttering up the gutter. A perennial problem.
Common problem.
Yep.
And the question I have involves the fact that the gutter helmet system is being heavily promoted now. And I wonder if that system and others like it do take care of the problem of pine needles and small locust leaves also flowing into
Yes, they will. None of them will really take care of the real tiny stuff like the granules that are coming off the shingles and things like that. But, yes, there are probably at least a half a dozen or more brands of this type of gutter shield that do a good job of keeping the leaves out. As a matter of fact, if you go to my website, hankspies.com, and go into roofing, you will find a listing of multiple brands, some of which are far more expensive than others. And you can find a number of those. Unfortunately, most of the home center stores don't carry them. So you, in this case, I've given you 800 numbers or something or other for manufacturers to find a distributor, or in one case, at least a semi-local phone number for them.
Now, when that system is installed, is it possible to get into the gutter and clean granules or anything else that might get in there?
Not easily. You'll probably have to take one piece off and then get your hose in there, and but it shouldn't be necessary very often. You know, every few years, perhaps, but not on a regular basis.
Now, I recall a while back you mentioned that there was one or two systems that you thought were effective, but that the price was very high, almost prohibitive. Has the price come down?
Well, that system is the one that's being heavily promoted at the moment. To an extent, yes, there are some competitors. And as I say, if you are capable of doing it yourself, there is a company that will ship the material to you directly at probably about 10% of the installed cost of gutter helmet.
Cool. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call. This is a question that's come up again and again.
It certainly is. And please, if you're at all insecure about climbing or working on ladders, please hire it done. I about lost a good friend last year who fell off a ladder while working on his house gutters. And while he was old enough to have known better, we don't want to lose any listeners that way.
Yeah. And this seems to be a case where if you're interested in one of these systems, it sounds as if it is a case where the more money you spend, the better. Unfortunately, it sounds like the more money you spend, the better it's going to work.
Well, not necessarily.
No, okay.
Not necessarily. As I say, the one that's being heavily promoted is very expensive. There are probably three or four others that are significantly less expensive that work just as well.
That work as well.
Okay. And as I say, if you hit my website, there's a listing of those available. or if you don't have access, give me a call or drop me a line at my office, and we'll see what we can do for you.
And how, if you decided maybe you'd like to try to install these things yourself, just how complicated is it?
Not particularly complicated. You just have to have the appropriate ladders and the sense of balance and so on of working on them.
Yeah, okay. All right. We have other callers, and our next is in Lafayette. That would be line number 4. Hello.
Hello. Rain gutters again. I've found very good results from a pretty cheap arrangement with rigid sections of the kind that's hinged along the outer edge of the gutter. It's a pretty rigid aluminum, arched up slightly so that it can't collapse under debris. I think, are you aware of that?
Yes, I think so. I think it's probably one of the brands that I have listed on my website. But yes, I know there are. There's at least one hinged version on there.
And it has the advantage you can just pop them open easily for the cleaning that's still inevitable about once a year.
Well, I'm not sure about once a year, but it is inevitable anyway. But and the expensive ones very often do not. They're very difficult to get into.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're 100% effective in keeping all the little junk out.
I'm clearing out a section of new galvanized guttering and trying hard to paint in there. And I know your sentiments about trying to paint anything galvanized.
Well, as long as it's got a little age on it, it'll work.
It does, and I do, and we're still struggling after several years. I'm getting it pretty well chipped out, but meanwhile, my concern is that I'm floundering around not only on a ladder from below, but at the edge of a roof. I'm loosening gutters or loosening granules. Is that the main or most serious damage a person can do on his roof?
Probably, because the purpose of granules on roofing is not just to provide color, it's to protect the felt underneath from the sun. And once the granules are gone and the sun can get to the felt, the life is significantly shortened.
I'm trying out with a series of rubber mats to try to stabilize it under me.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, I do, for one reason or another, walk on the roof some, and wondered if that was the main threat to it.
Yes, it often is. We particularly find roof damage around chimneys where somebody's been working on the chimney, or around dormers or something like that where they're working on flashings around there. And it's perfectly possible to do significant damage to the roof, particularly in very hot weather.
Particularly hot weather. Okay. Well, the rubber mats might help.
Yes, they certainly will.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Our guest this morning on Focus 580 is Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He is on this program once a month, always on a Monday. We talk about home maintenance. If you have questions, call us 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us. If you're listening around Illinois and Indiana, you're listening over the air, or if you might happen to be listening on the Internet, as long as you're in the United States, you may use that toll-free line, 800-222-9455. The next caller is in Paxton in line 3.
Morning, Hank. Your timing couldn't be better. I'm in the process of trying to redo my front entry door, which is pine, and I've had spar urethane on it for about 10 or 12 years, and I can't not keep it. It will not hold, and I've...
Unless you recoat at least every 2 years, you can't.
I do it every 2 years, and it's still not holding.
Right.
I've got some staining that looks like mildew where it's broken loose. I assume I need to bleach it and let it dry out well before I do whatever I'm going to do.
Right.
My plan was to give up the natural wood to put two coats of an oil primer and then top coat it with two finished coats of latex. do you have a better solution?
Well, the only other option that is an epoxy paint.
An epoxy?
Yeah.
Okay, I've handled a lot of different materials. This is a panel door, so I'm not going to be able to roll it.
Right. Okay, and the panels move between seasonal change anyway.
That's correct.
So you're probably in the right track then.
So I should stay with an oil primer and then a couple of top coats of the best latex.
Right. You can put latex over oil. You just can't put oil over latex.
Yeah, I understand that. There's nothing out there that you found magic.
Not really. As I say, with a panel door, and panel doors are made so the panels can expand and contract, and you're forever fighting that little border around the panel as it's moving. And that's probably, you know, you got to catch it. They expand in damp weather and contract in dry weather and this kind of thing. So the best seal you can get on them in the oil-based primer is probably it.
Okay. Is two coats sufficient?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And here we have someone local in Champaign. That's line number one. Hello.
Hi, Hank. Another perennial problem, and that's the wet crawl space.
Ah, yes.
And I've done all of the appropriate stuff, like, you know, extending gutters and trying to do landscaping, but it still gets a little water under the visqueen, and sometimes when it rains, it gets, you know, a little water. Anyway, so I had you know, some people come in and look at the foundation and yada, 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 and they said, oh, what you really ought to do is, you know, put in a sump pump, and then they talked about putting in this thing which is like seals the crawl space, and they said, it's like a swimming pool liner, a vinyl swimming pool liner, and we seal it up, yada, yada, yada. And the question is, and I said, I never heard of this, and they said, oh, this is a new technology. Are they just sort of blowing smoke, or is, in fact, this the way crawl spaces are going these days?
Well, it is a new technology. It has been around for a few years. It has definitely hit the trade press and seems to work. However, on an existing house, it's a little bit more difficult than if you are building new construction, as well as the fact that we have this problem in that the building code requires the ventilation, so you've got to get some kind of a variation on from your code official to use these sealed crawl spaces. And they're not inexpensive and so on. Now, remember, if the water is under the plastic in your crawl space, it's not hurting a thing.
Okay.
Do not worry about any water under the plastic. It's always damp under the plastic. That's why the plastic is there. So it's a matter of, generally speaking, if you can run the plastic up the foundation wall enough so that any seepage through the wall ends up under the plastic, we're still in good shape. And if you don't store anything down there, remember that plastic floats.
So just because when I get, you know, once a spring gully washer that, and I get a little water in the basement or the crawl space, I shouldn't worry about it.
If it's under the plastic, it's no problem at all.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your help.
All right. Thank you for the call. Other questions, welcome. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. I want to ask you a quick gutter question. This was motivated by my own experience, but I'm kind of interested in what you might have to say. I have an old house, and it has these old-style half-round strap-hung gutters.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, well, they're getting kind of old, and maybe it would be good to replace them. So I got someone who says, well, I can put similar kind of strap-hung gutter on there. Or I have somebody else who says, well, I can put on a more contemporary style of gutter. But before you do that, you have to have somebody come over and build out the fascia so that you have something to attach the gutter to. So now here's my question. I'm fine with strap-hung gutters. I don't have any problem with that. What do you think are the various, you know, are there various advantages or disadvantages of the two ways of attaching the gutter?
The big disadvantage of these half-round strap-hung gutters is that they have about half the capacity of the new K-style gutters. Now, as far as you having to build out a fascia, I'm sorry, I can't agree with that, because if you adequately attach the gutters to the rafter tails as they come out, They shouldn't require additional support to that. Now, yes, the standard way of hanging them perhaps is not, but there are gutter hangers on the market that will work quite well without building out the fascia. So I don't think that that's necessary. But the K-style gutters will carry about twice as much water before they run over as the half rounds do.
So that might just, that in and of itself might, the handling capacity might be the thing that should, you should most
otherwise, think, yes, half rounds are available. The strap hangers are available. The main thing is you've got to get the strap hangers under the shingle, not nailed on top of them. And you can get a sealant around them, but generally speaking, it's better if you can get them under that top layer.
Well, that's what someone pointed that out to me as being something to keep in mind, that you don't want to take the – essentially you're puncturing the roof and creating an opportunity for moisture to get around where you put your nail through.
That's very true.
All right. Very good.
One of the reasons why we don't use them much anymore.
Well, we have some other folks here with questions, and we'll just keep on going, take as many as we can. Let's see. The next person in line should be in Matt Toon and line number 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I hope you haven't already answered this. I'm a little late in tuning in. What I want to know is, can I put like a coat of polyurethane over a water-based exterior paint on some porch furniture?
I doubt very much that they would hold well.
I see. Just hold.
Generally speaking, with polyurethane, you've got to be back to bare wood, and then it does an excellent job.
Doesn't do well over a water-based paint.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. So, does that? Would you?
It just doesn't stick.
Doesn't
to
stick
well.
To. And is that true for a latex paint and oil-based, or are you talking about any paint?
Yeah, a urethane over a paint.
Over a paint.
Just doesn't work well.
So it doesn't. So the issue is not, is it an oil-based base, and is a latex? It doesn't matter which of the paints you're talking about.
Right.
You're saying polyurethane on top of paint
doesn't work well.
And that's because it can't grab on.
And grab on. Right.
Okay. To next caller, Savoy. Line 3. Hello.
I have a question on two topics, and I'm wondering if I should just ask one and then call back, or
no,
go ahead.
The first one is, we have a about a 6-year-old house, and it has a wooden front door that goes out to a front porch.
Mm-hmm.
And for about the last week, somebody in our household has been running a lightweight AC cord from the plug-in on the inside to operate the radio on the porch. And since that time, now the door does not shut without locking the deadbolt. In other words, if we just close it with the door handle, whereas it used to hold, it now just pops right out.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep it shut, we have to put the deadbolt on.
Well, they've sprung the door a little bit.
Do you know how we can correct that?
Well, first of all, you put an outlet on the porch.
and retrain the home.
Well, you put it there so you don't have to run a cord under the door.
Right.
That's what happens is they've squeegeed the door out of shape in order to get that cord through it.
Right.
And it all depends on if you take the cord out and it may go back. You may have to use some clamps to get it to go back square again. It may be a matter of just changing the location of the hole that the deadbolt, that the latch goes into a little bit. They may have sprung it enough so that the catch is not hitting the same hole that it did before and is not closing. The catch is not closing quite right. And it may be just a simple matter of moving the strike plate slightly.
Okay.
We can hope that's the easy solution. If you check it and it's not holding, it's probably because the strike is not going into the strike plate. It's being held out now, so you've warped something enough, you may have to move the strike plate a little bit.
Move the strike plate, okay. The second question has to do with the exterior of our home. It's a brick house, and there is a concrete patio on the back of the house, and where the concrete comes into the brick, there's this material that's black. I think it's like a fiberboard that was put down.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has rotted away. Mm-hmm. And I've picked up some more of that fiberboard. But is it best to pull everything that exists out and totally replace it, or just kind of do spot work?
You have two choices. One, you can pull it out and replace it, or the other thing is they make some pour-in sealants that would do the job a lot easier.
Okay.
They come in gallon jugs with a pour spout, and you dig out enough so that you've got a slot in there that's a half an inch deep or something like that, and then you pour in the sealant.
Okay.
And it's a lot easier than trying to dig everything out and replace that fiberboard.
Okay. Yeah, I think the fiberboard is about 5 inches deep.
Yes.
So if we're a couple inches deep into where fiberboard was.
Even if you're in only as little as a half an inch, you're in good shape.
Oh, okay. But otherwise, they have something in a sealant form that can be purchased in.
Yeah, as I say, you buy it in a gallon jug with a little spout on it that you can pour in there.
I've looked at some of the big box stores, and I didn't come across that. Is that a specialty item at all? Or
no, I've usually found it in the big box stores.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. We are about halfway through this part of Focus 580, talking with Hank Spies, and we'll continue to take calls in a moment. One thing we'd like to do right here is remind you just how important your financial support is for this radio station. Jack Brighton is here. He's the man we call the producer emeritus of Focus 580.
That's right.
He was a producer for a long time of the show, and then he moved, and now he's in charge of our web operations. And standing by in Pledge Central, Dave Teal, who is a program director for WILL Television, and I think maybe in a second we can talk with him. I guess the most important thing we could do is right now is give people the telephone number to call, right?
244-9455. That's to make a pledge call. If you're calling from outside Champaign-Urbana, the area code 217-244-9455. And please help us out, because you know what? We have to keep doing this show. If we don't do it, nobody's going to do it. And we are determined to keep this thing going. The only way we can do that is by enlisting your support, because as we keep talking about, declining federal funding, state funding, university funding, government funding in general is going down. So we need to get to the point where 2 out of every 10 listeners are pledging to support this station. And it's sort of tough to get there. Right now it's about 1 out of 10. But if you are going to make a difference, you can make a call right now to our pledge line, 244-9455, and make that pledge. And one of the things that I wanted to emphasize is last year we had a lot of new members, a lot of people who had never pledged for ever to the station. They made their first pledge. It's really important that if you're one of those people that you call again this year so that we can make, you know, more progress toward the 2 out of 10 goal that we've got for listener support of the station.
Right. It's really, we hope that people will renew. If it's time for you to renew your membership, we hope that you will, because we want it. Not only do we want to continue to bring new folks in, but we need to keep them in the organization.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's say hi to Dave Teal, who is in Pledge Central. He's our TV program director. How you doing, Dave?
Well, very well. It's good to be here. And things have been happening this morning. But as always, things quiet down a little during this hour simply because I think people are wanting to call in with their questions and maybe not thinking about the fact that that we do need to keep the money coming in to keep this service going. But we, Jack, you were talking about new members. I wanted to mention the name of one new friend of WILL, and that is Burdell Galloway from Chatsworth, who just called in a few moments ago and became a new friend. And we'd like to keep hearing from other people who are not current contributors, or maybe they contributed last year, and it's time for them to renew.
Yeah, that would be great.
One thing that occurs to me listening to the program this morning is that just the sheer number of interviews that you and Celeste do on Afternoon Magazine. I mean, we're talking hundreds of live interview programs, call-in programs per year. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds of topics. And that's a local service that nobody else really can provide here. As more and more stations become consolidated, become part of big media conglomerates, this is a service that, folks listening right here in Central Illinois can call in, become a part of the program. And I think that's a service that's worth supporting, worth protecting.
Absolutely. Well, we believe in it.
Yeah. Well, and if you're interested in hearing extended interviews, there's no place else to do that except public radio. And Celeste and I were talking about this the other day. You know, on Focus, we do a 50-minute interview, and I think in her show on the Afternoon Magazine, it's 40 minutes, I think. It might be a little bit longer than that. There isn't any place else that they're doing interviews like that.
Yeah.
Public radio is it. And if you're interested in hearing an extended conversation with somebody about an issue where there's enough there, it's complicated enough to take an interview like that, this is the only place that you're going to find it. That is in public radio.
And may I add that you can also go to our website and listen to all those interviews anytime you want. If you missed something, you can listen to it at your leisure.
That's right.
Through Real Audio. So, and there are hundreds of interviews on the website as well. So I had to mention that because I'm the one kind of in charge of that. But, and you can also make a pledge on the website. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can get something from the station, either on the air or on the web. And you can also help us out by calling our pledge line, 244-9455, or visit our website, will.uiuc.edu.
All right. Thank you very much, both very much, Jack and Dave, and we'll talk again a little bit at the end of the hour. We want to get back to talking with callers here. If you have a question, deals with home maintenance, this is the time to call. We do this program every month, always on a Monday, with Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. And we've talked a lot about gutters, but we can do other things, roofing, siding, windows, doors, basements, attics, furnaces, what have you. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. The next caller in line here is in Champaign and on line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
My name is Bob Ennis. I have a concrete floor on ground, and I'm interested in putting some flooring on it. I like oak flooring, and I want it to be soft on my feet, soft enough for dancing. Do you have any suggestions, or would you abandon the idea?
No. You can lay down a vapor barrier, lay down furring strips, one by twos or something or other, and then attach the oak flooring to that, and that will work very quite well.
Well, right where it rests on the furring strips, would it be extra firm there, or would that be...
Well, not necessarily. No more so than if it was installed in your living room where it's sitting on a floor joist.
Oh, okay. And you would use PT furring strips, I assume?
It would be a good idea, yes. But if main thing is to get a vapor barrier under there, a sheet of polyethylene, and you shoot the furring strips down with concrete anchors and anchor them down so we've got the vapor barrier so we don't pick up moisture in the oak from the back.
Right. Okay. And I'm also concerned about termites. Should the oak be treated in advance?
No. We don't want termites to get in that far.
I beg your pardon?
We don't want the termites to get in that far.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks very much.
All right,
okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Why would it not, why would you not also call for, say, like a plywood layer under the oak,
subfloor? Well, you don't necessarily
have to.
No, okay. You can put the oak strips directly on the furring.
Okay.
You know, you space the strips no more than 16 inches on center. Tongue and groove oak will handle that very nicely.
Okay.
We're not putting grand pianos on it or something.
Yeah, provided you're not that kind of weight.
Right.
Extremely heavy piece of furniture.
No, we're looking at our problem would not be total weight, but rather a point.
Oh, I see. A lot of weight coming down on one, a very
yes.
small
right.
area. Okay, I see.
Right.
Very good. Let's go to, I think we have somebody on cell phone. We can get them next. Line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I had a quick question. Last month you mentioned replacing flat roofs. Oh, yes, we're back to that again. Peaked roofs would be better.
Yes.
Putting up trusses and then roofing over that.
Right.
A friend of mine just bought a building. It's the roof is about 154 by 60 feet wide. It's a commercial building. Does that rule of thumb still apply there, too?
That's probably a little bit bigger than It still can be done, but it's a little bit bigger than the study that we indicated that that was the best solution for. We were looking at some at buildings of 10,000 square feet or less.
Well, this was, you know, 154 by 60. I thought that was about 9,300 square feet, so I thought
The main thing is, you know, you don't have to have clear span trusses. Because obviously there are load bearing members under that existing roof that you can come down to. So I would say it was probably still a pretty good idea to go with the sloped roof, but it does not have to be trusses.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. This is the kind of thing that you can see from time to time you have problems with. Generally, these are commercial buildings, big commercial buildings that have flat roofs. You can have a lot of problems, particularly if you have big buildup of snow on them.
Yes, snow, water, whatever. Mm-hmm. And since there's virtually no slope, the water doesn't run off. If you have any problem, mm-hmm. it runs in.
Well, how much slope do you need to have?
Well, if you're going to shingle it, the absolute minimum is 2 inches to the foot, and you need special application for that. Mm-hmm. For a standard application, 4 inches to the foot. Now, there are some membrane systems that we can go as little as a quarter to a half an inch per foot, which theoretically is what they should have done on the flat roof, quote-unquote, to begin with, except that usually roofs don't stay that flat. You can have this and you still end up with bird baths in them as things sag and so on. And that's where the leaks come from. And also at the flashings around the edges and so on. So this is why we like to see the slope. We want to get that water away. We don't want to leave it sitting there.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk next with someone in Aurora on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Yes, hi, good morning. Mm-hmm. A delight again to talk to you. I'm having a wooden fence that has only one coat of stain on it and needs a covering done this week. I'm using Cabot's semi-transparent or semi-solid stain.
Mm-hmm.
And in the surface preparation information, it says, use Cabot's Problem Solver Wood Cleaner and Wood Brightener to remove tough mold, mildew, tannin, bleeding problems. I don't have any of those. And then it says to use Problem Solver Wood Stripper can safely remove all oil-based stains and paints from exterior wood surfaces. Well, it's a new fence. It was only stained once. Do I have to use a wood cleaner on it or a wood brightener?
Probably not.
What?
I don't think so. The one thing you can do to check it is flick a couple of drops of water on it, and does the water bead up or does it soak
in? Yes,
it
beads up.
Well, in that case, maybe you do, because
what do I have to use?
Anyone. Their stripper works fine, and Cabot's is one of the very best brands.
Yeah, I know, because I listened till I did hear which one was the best.
Right.
So I have to use a wood stripper?
If it's beading up on it, you might let it weather till spring.
I might want to do what?
Just let it weather till spring, and then it'll probably soak in. Because you do have something that's holding it out now, and we want to be able to have that stain soak in.
Yes, yes. So I shouldn't do it until spring?
If you wait until spring, you probably won't have to strip it. If you do it now and the water is beating on it, you probably should strip it.
So what if I had it sanded? What if it was sanded?
Oh, that's an awful lot of work.
Well, it's not that big a fence.
In that case, sanding would take care of it.
50 feet of stain. But I still should. It sounds like I still should troubleshoot it, though. It seems like I should get a professional to look at it and decide.
Well, as I say, if water beads on it, then the stain is not going to soak in. If the water does not bead, go right on it with the stain.
Oh, I'm so glad you were there to ask. Thank you much. Bye bye.
Thank you. Let's go on here to Streeter and caller line number 1. Hello.
Yeah, hello. I've built a dormer on an existing house with 2x10s for the roof rafters and vented the shingles with the strip venting on the peak. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if I decide to go with a open ceiling, I forget what you call, like a cathedral type ceiling in there.
Right.
If I put 8 inches of insulation, would that leave an adequate ventilation space above that?
Yes, particularly if you can get a vapor barrier in there, a sheet of poly between the ceiling under your ceiling finish.
Oh, absolutely. You mean between the insulation and the finished ceiling?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know if that vent, that strip venting on the top would be adequate.
Well, it'll do pretty well. Do you have any venting on the edges at all?
I'll be putting the vented dust soffit. Yeah.
Okay, sure. That's fine.
And 1 inch or so above the insulation is adequate then?
Yes.
And I wanted to know how to spell your last name to get to your website.
S-P-I-E-S, like spies.
Spies.com, right?
HankSpies.com.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Bye.
We have about 5 minutes left, 5 or so. If you have questions, I'm sure we can get a couple of more people in before we have to finish up this time around with Hank Spies. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. We talked about the fact that it's important to make sure you start thinking about keeping your gutters clean, because if they get all jammed up with debris, they're not going to do what you want them to do.
We also want to be sure that the gutter extensions are on so that the water that does come down the gutter gets away from the foundation.
Okay. And how far away from the foundation should it be?
Crawl space at least 3 feet, basements at least 5.
All right. And if you don't really feel comfortable being up on the ladder, don't do it yourself.
Right.
To Champagne next, line 1. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I would like to ask you about a crawl space that was musty when we moved into the house with renovation. It cleared out, and now we're getting that odor again after that September heavy rain.
Well, apparently you got some more water in there at that time.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's gone now. It seems to be totally dry, but there's still an odor in the house.
Okay, well... probably it's a matter of doing it the hard way. If you mix one part of chlorine bleach to 4 parts of water and spray down the wood down there with it, that should kill it off.
Okay. What about plastic?
You've got to have plastic down on the dirt surface.
Yes.
No question about that. That's absolutely imperative.
Uh-huh.
So, and as I say, the plastic should cover the entire dirt surface. It hopefully should lap up the foundation a few inches. It doesn't have to be secured there. If it curls back, that means any water that comes through the foundation will end up under the plastic instead of on top of it.
Okay. What about protecting yourself from that chlorine bleach while you are doing the spray?
Goggles, gloves, and it may be necessary to put in a fan that gets you fresh air down there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And so were you talking about just regular plastic sheeting? It doesn't have to be anything. How thick does it have to be?
Usually the plastic we use is 4 mil or 6 mil.
Okay.
But that's the important thing, is that entire ground surface be covered.
All right. So you're just lying it down on top of the ground and up a little bit on the sides. So the idea is whatever moisture there is comes up through the ground, hits that plastic, and it doesn't come up into the house.
Right. Generally speaking, if you spread a piece of plastic down on one that has no cover, within an hour you will have droplets of moisture on the bottom.
Okay.
And that is probably one of the most significant things we can do to preserve our houses.
All right. Then we'll go to at least one more caller here. This person is in Urbana, line 3. Hello.
Hello, Hank.
Yes.
This is Tom. I'd like to know regarding an old front porch. It was about 73 years old, and I've got wood out there. It's 3 1/4 inches wide. I don't know whether that includes the groove or not. And most likely it doesn't.
Right.
I just measured it from the top.
Right.
And is there any way to replace that wood? Have you any idea? I think what they've got around town is 3/4 inch thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no way of measuring it because I don't see. Would I be better off to get a carpenter over here and measure it and then see what I can replace it with?
You're going to replace the whole
thing? Replace the whole porch, yeah.
Okay. It doesn't. If you're going to replace the whole thing, it doesn't make
doesn't
much
make
difference.
Doesn't make a bit of difference, right.
You tear it off and go from there.
Go from there. But now if I just want to replace the center boards, then I have to add the same thing I've got, right?
That's right, or else shim them from the bottom.
Shim them up from the bottom, I
yeah.
see. Yeah.
In other words, if the new one is not as thick as the old one, you can add a little bit of something on top of the floor joists and bring it up to level.
But it's getting that last board in. You got to hammer it in from the end instead of the side.
Well, either that or else you take you cut off the bottom half of the groove,
mm-hmm.
and then put it down so the top half laps over the tongue, and you have room to you can get the tongue in. The bottom half will lap over the by taking it off, the top half will lap over the tongue of the adjacent one and
mm-hmm.
take it down that way.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to investigate a little more. Somebody told me they had just what I needed in town, but I don't think so. It's always just a little bit smaller than what I had back 73 years ago.
Usually that's true. The dimensions we use today are a little shy of what they used to
be. Shy of what they had 73 years ago. Well, thanks
right.
a lot, Hank.
Okay.
It.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Probably now with some of the cooler weather, we've had people know whether their furnace works or not. It's probably it has right. run.
Change the filter.
I guess we talked about this before, and it sort of depends on things like do you have long haired pets and so forth. So you might want to change it as much as once a month. You might be able to get right. by with going a couple of months, probably.
Right, and there are a lot of different kinds of filters on the market. And again, my website covers the various types of filters that are available and what they each of them will and won't do.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make your selection. You can pay anything from 69 cents to $15 for a filter.
And so what you're getting when you spend more money is it will filter out
smaller
stuff.
Particles, right.
Okay.
Right.
And depending on your whether you have allergies and how sensitive you are and do you like dusting, you might want to spend more money to have the filter that's the more efficient.
Yes. There's a significant difference between the 69-cent filter and the $10 filter. The 69-cent one is good for catching dust bunnies, but not much else. And the other ones will go down to, probably tree pollens.
Yeah. Okay. And assuming, if your furnace is working, if it seems to be working, if it puts out heat, you may think, that's fine. How is it a good idea to have it periodically inspected and how often?
I would figure every couple of years at least, because an old furnace, you want to look at the pilot light and see if it's burning yellow instead of blue. That means it needs some adjustment. The same way when the furnace is burning, we want it to be burning with a primarily blue flame. You don't want more than 10% yellow in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have more yellow than that, then something needs adjustment or cleaning.
So what exactly does that mean?
It means that we're not getting adequate air-gas mixture for most efficient combustion.
So the issue there is efficiency.
Yes.
So you may, in fact, be paying out more money than for your gas than you really need to.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
Well, I thank you very much for coming by and giving us your time. We'll do one more caller here. We'll go Urbana, line one. Hello. Is there a caller there, Urbana, line one? I guess not. Well, Hank will be back again next month, and we will do this again. And in the meantime, as he mentioned there, he does have a website, hankspeace.com. It has various kinds of information on there, so if you have Internet access, you might want to check that out.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He's here on this program once a month to talk about home maintenance and home improvement.
And if you can't spell it, I believe there is a link back to the WILL website.
Yes, okay. So it's S-P-I-E-S,
right.
pronounced Spies. But again, yes, if you go to our website, you should be able to link to his.